Right, so we got Bev Milun in studio with us and her gorgeous son Gabriel. Hello.
Hello.
Lovely. Nice to meet you guys here.
Thank you. Nice to meet
you.
So we've really got an SMS for you, Bev. Someone said, thanks, Bev, for the awesome reading last week. Truer words have never been spoken.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Print that.
We'll add that onto like...
Someone print that. Someone go on my Facebook page and print that.
All right, cool. We'll do it. No problem. We'll retweet it.
Excellent. Yeah, you can tweet it. I even tweet now.
Yeah, I'm also trying to get into it. Totally.
And how's tweeting working?
It's slow. Facebook, I'm down like a pro.
Right. Yeah. Maybe you can teach me some things.
Facebook's no problem. It's Twitter. I'm trying to get like the momentum rolling with it, you know.
I hear it. You don't know what to say. And you don't want to be one of those people who just says so much of nothing that you kind of want to wipe the graffiti away.
No, seriously. And some of my friends are like completely, I mean, like obsessive about it. Like they sit like talking to you while social networking. And I'm like, okay, look, you're either with me or you're with Twitter because you can't do both at the same time.
So you've got to choose. Absolutely. Can you be present?
Yes, please.
Go for it. What's the birthday?
Okay, so first of all, we have Colin has SMS'd in to say, oh, sorry. Well, let's do Colin. Do Colin first. We've got the 3rd of November, 1980.
Okay, the 3rd of November, 1980. It's 80, right?
Yes.
All right. Any particular question or anything like that?
No, it's just that. He says, I am male.
I am male. Well, you know.
Just in case.
I like to ask people if they'll give me a male or feminine. Like, so you can either say he or she, right?
Yeah.
But Colin's given us a name, so that's good. I had a good sense it was a
male,
boy.
Yeah.
Although I'm sure somewhere in the world are girl Colin.
Yes.
Okay. So Colin loves to have things beautiful. He loves to nurture. He loves to care for people. He likes to have his environment. He likes to have the things he does have a pretty finish. It's very important for him that it must end round, end beautifully. And there must also be for him, he likes things to flow. He doesn't like things to stop, start. He gets frustrated. So he wants things to have a flow and he wants things to go nasty. So that's all great. So what holds Colin back, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much else that Colin is wonderful about. Believe me, he has an unbounded perspective of the world and he's playful and enthusiastic and almost childlike spontaneity is what his mission is. It's just like, well, I want to do that and I want to do this and why do they have to be boundaries and etc. Where Colin gets rigid and inflexible is when people don't follow what he says or they don't take his analysis or his criticism and go, oh yeah, that's brilliant. I will seek to improve myself because you said I need to. So Colin, right off the bat, I'm going to say, that's fantastic, but those deep hidden sensitivities you have that you're not telling people about that I can see, that deep philosophical, I want the world to be right, things shouldn't be so hurtful, part of you that you keep hidden, everyone has that at different levels. So while you're sharp, acute, this is how it should be better, I is coming out and throwing things at people, their sensitivities are being touched on. So where the inhibition is coming from, inhibiting him from absolutely flourishing in every single department, relationships, business, everything. And I'm not saying he doesn't flourish in these, but wherever there is an obstacle or a frustration, it's coming to teach you, Colin, coming to refine you and say to you, hello, can you please be slightly gentler? Can you be a little more thoughtful about how right you are? Because I say this all the time, you can win in life, you can win in the moment, and they are not always the same thing. So if I'm wanting to win in the moment all the time, I'm not necessarily winning in life because I can tell you, you need to be more this, less this, dress this way, do this, speak like this, whatever. And I might be right as far as assessment goes on the bases that we set before us. But does that necessarily mean because I was right in the moment and I won in that moment that I win in life? It might corrupt our relationship. It might corrupt how we work together. You may be more inhibited going forward to be open with me, etc. So if you want relationships to flourish and you want things to work, there has to be a mentoring system on your own mouth. You have to make sure what comes out of your mouth is exactly what you're willing to take responsibility for tomorrow. What will I wish I said? How will I wish I handled this? If you can start to get into a process of doing that, you will automatically begin to refine yourself, and you won't have to be brought to your knees or lose a relationship you were passionate about or have yourself melted down over something that you really thought you were on top of. That's what all these experiences come to do for us. All the challenges, all the obstacles we think are put in our way to thwart our process are there to refine us. They are there to take care of us. And I read an amazing thing in an article about this young family. There's some kind of show, I don't know, I don't watch it, so Home Family, Family Home, I don't know what it is. And she's now 21, but she had a kidney disease, and her dad just gave her a kidney. Now, some people out there will go, oh, yeah, okay, well, I don't know her name, I'm sorry. I don't watch the show, but she said an amazing thing in this interview as a young woman. And they said to her, you know, what do you think you can offer to people who struggle, to children who struggle and have hard times? And she said, don't always ask why me, because why not you? Whatever you go through redefines you and defines you and helps you to become who you are today. So don't always whine about that. And that's my favorite line. It's not why me, it's why not me. Yeah. Why, if I was a benevolent creator, why would I put myself through this? What would I be hoping my subject would learn? Mm. Because in a boot camp, we put people through things so that they learn those things. They get good at it. And that when the next opportunity comes to crawl under a barbed wire fence in army boot camp, they know how to do it. They know what to do and how to take care of things, or to carry a guy down a ravine in a home made stretcher or like a nature made stretcher. They know how to do it. They don't feel sure, how do we put this together? What would we do next? And so there's this training for life experience that you do in a boot camp. Well, that's what we're doing all the time.
Yeah.
We're training to reach into more of our potential. We're refining and redefining so we can be better versions of ourselves.
Beautifully put. Lovely. We do have a caller on the line. Tubbs, do we have time for the caller now? Lovely, excellent. We have Tessa on the line. Hi, welcome, Tessa. Thanks for waiting.
That's all right.
Hi,
my
Tessa.
My birthday is 18th of July, 1947.
The 18th of July, 1947. That's quite soon.
Yes.
Is there anything particular you'd like me to comment on?
Well, I'd just like you to tell me a little bit about myself.
Okay, I will do that. You're going to listen on radio?
Yes.
Lovely. Thank you so much, Tessa. All right.
Yeah. Well,
here we go. So we have Tessa, born on the 18th of July, 1947, and she really just wants to know more about herself. So my favorite time of the day is sitting and spending time with me. Now, I seldom get a whole lot of that, I'm going to be honest, but it's the most wonderful opportunity to understand exactly who you are and what you're about. When you sit alone in quiet with yourself, if you're working on your own, if you're cleaning on your own, if you're doing things on your own, that's when we get to know ourselves. And if we're paying attention and reflection from other people. So when I hear someone say to me, tell me more about myself, what I'm often hearing people saying, tell me more of what I know to be true. And sometimes I'm hearing someone say, is there something I've missed?
Mm-hmm.
So I can tell Tessa easily, I can tell her that she is a very intellectual person. She has a very philosophical mind. She's theological. She is not necessarily committed to a theology, but she is theological. And she has a lot of thoughts and a lot of ideas that she loves to discuss. She's a big discusser. She also loves to help people. She likes an outreach. She likes to be significant in the lives of others. Her biggest work, though, and let's look at that, because if you're phoning in and you're a woman of now 65 this year, in the next 2 weeks, she's a young woman. There's another, 40 years at least to go in today's longevity. So there's plenty of time to improve, to retain the potential, etc. So let's look at what Tessa might benefit from knowing about herself that she hasn't yet pinpointed. And the work here, without question, is to live independently of the scrutiny or opinion of others. It's a big thing for her. She has a childlike, curious, inquisitive nature. She's spontaneous and in certain ways and likes to do things without having thought it through completely. She needs affirmation. She fears rejection. And where she gets that, it inhibits her self-esteem. It inhibits her believing in herself. And the danger of that is that we might hold ourselves back from doing what we're passionate about if we keep believing stories about ourselves. If I believe the story, if I'm Tessa and I believe the story that if people don't affirm or praise the choices I've made, I'm not valuable, I won't succeed, or it's not good enough, I might stop trying. I may not do the things that seem impossible for me today. And not impossible for the world, impossible for me today. And my son is a perfect example of that kind of thing because he's constantly being pushed and stretched gently by his mom. I know her, so I can comment honestly on that. But he's constantly being encouraged to stretch a little bit further, a little bit deeper into his potential, a little bit higher, so that he brings more and more of the exquisite being he is. And we all are exquisite beings. Mm. We just have to do the work. You want the prize? Do the work. Do the work, have the prize. It doesn't come for free. I always say this, the tortoise doesn't fall to the top of the totem pole. Something has to get it there.
Yeah.
There's a whole pulley system, pushing system. Something gets it there.
Yeah.
Right. So when it comes to living in the world, terrified of people's opinion and scared to speak out because rejection inhibits us, then you might find somebody like Tessa who has held herself back and not done enough. Because she believes the story that says, if other people don't agree, if other people don't affirm me, if other people don't praise me, then I am not enough. And what I'm doing is not good enough, and I'm just not going to do that because that's painful.
Mm.
And that's her biggest work. Her biggest work is to overcome the belief that other people dictate our self-esteem, our esteeming of ourselves. And there's so many different ways to improve it. There's so many different ways to redefine it. But the biggest thing we can do is start telling ourselves new stories.
Yeah, absolutely. So, sweetheart, Shame, I totally identify with that.
Right, do you? Yeah. What's your birthday?
I'm kidding. Well, I think we all do. I mean, there's a lot of truth in it for all of us, you know?
Absolutely, there is truth in it. So let me give an example. Should we do that?
Let's go to an ad break.
We have to go to break. Great, yeah, let's do it afterwards. Back.
This is 101.9
Chai FM.
101.9 megahertz of power.
And we're back with Bev Milun here in studio, and we are so honored to have such a highly esteemed woman and speak so much truth. Thanks, Bev. You were talking about Tessa's story, and you wanted to give an example about...
Okay, so we're talking about living your own story or believing the wrong stories about yourself. Okay, now a lot of the time I try and mentor this and encourage people to understand this so they can redefine themselves, but they'll say, I don't understand, how is that applicable?
Mm.
Okay, so I'll give you an example. If you're telling yourself the wrong story, you will inhibit yourself from trying something where you could succeed. Okay, that's right off the bat for everybody. So for an example, and we did clear this up before, so I'm not just putting him on the spot, right? And with your permission, thank you. I'll tell a little bit of a story about how my son has overcome a story he believed this week, this week. And it's recent, so it's fresh, it's nice. So he's 12 years old now, and he believed a story about himself. He believes many stories, and there'll be many to overcome, many to change the story. Mm-hmm. But the story he believed about himself was that he is too scared to sleep out. That was his story. It's hard. And like I've been telling him, well, there's no dictatorship on sleeping out. A lot of people don't like it at all, no matter what their age.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are great with it from 4 years old. Some are born ready to sleep out. They are so built that way. And some get into it in their early teens. It doesn't matter. There's no competition on sleeping out. There's no obligation, and there's no you have to buy this age or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you're not failing anything. You're not lacking in any way. You're just valuable the way you are. And if you want to stretch yourself and include that in your realm of experience, fantastic. We'll work through it. And so there have been a few attempts, and there's been tries and et cetera, but it hasn't been easy. And there's been a lot of blessed social networking, right? There's been a whole lot of interaction and support throughout the dark hours. But last week, he overcame that because he wanted to tell himself a new story, and he has a huge amount of support, and I was available throughout the night, and he's done that. Another story he's overcome this week is that he has believed a story for a long time that he is not good with new people. Now, was that your experience of him?
No, not at all.
Exactly.
No.
So I know this to be true, and I know his numbers, and I've mentored and raised him based on who he is and how his hidden potential is since the day he was born, which is a big privilege for me.
Yeah.
And for him, because to be raised by somebody who truly understands how you're put together and what your needs are is an incredible privilege. I think it's a privilege all of us would have hoped to have.
Absolutely.
Right? I'd have had a lot less therapy, hold on, I can tell you. My parents meant well and they did their best with what they knew to do, like all parents do generally, what their best is for them with what they know to do. But when you have more experience, more understanding, more knowledge, you can bring change, you can bring improvement. So there's no, oh, I wish my parents are better, and no one should feel that way. My parents did the best they could with what they have, and I'm doing the best. And like I say, with every child needs therapy. It's just the depth that varies. He will have plenty of reason to work out stuff later on. I just don't know what it is, and I hope it's not too deep, right? Having said that, the story he believed is that he's not great with new kids. He doesn't make friends easily, and he doesn't like to go into environments where he goes on his own. He always wants to be with a friend so he has a safe base. Now, he's crazy about horses. He was pretty born crazy about horses, and he started riding and last year, and this year he's good enough to go off and do a pony camp for a couple of days in the holidays. Totally opposed to it, didn't want to do it. What's the story? The story is I won't meet people easily. I'm going to be lonely. It's going to be painful for me, etc. So how do we overcome the story? We start to talk about, well, what is it that you do want out of the experience? I love horses. I get to hang around with them for 3 days. Great. Are you obligated to meet friends, make new friends, and have lasting relationships through this process? No. Do you need to get along with these kids for the 3 days? Would that be better? Yes. So the only thing you have to know going in is that at the moment you have a story you believe to be true that is keeping you from going to have an experience that could be wonderful in a safe and contained environment. So either you believe that story, miss out on the pony camp, carry on with your life, and what do you feel? Not strong, uninhibited, lacking. Or you can stretch yourself, and I'm going to stretch you here, and you can push yourself and just go and know that just like a Gold Reef City, the rides are created to thrill, not kill. This is not going to kill you. And that's the underlying belief in the story that holds us back. And this is what I'm saying to everyone. In the stories that you hold yourself back with, the things that you believe about yourself that you cannot do and you're not good enough to try and etc., you won't die. If you try them, you will survive if you try them. But it's that belief it will be so painful I won't survive that inhibits people from trying, because we do have a self-protective mechanism built in, which is a good thing. So we don't just walk out in the traffic and we don't just try anything out there. We think about things, right? So can we ask him?
Yeah, please
do. Okay, so what happened for you, boy? How did you change the story?
Well, I went there and it wasn't very difficult to first make friends. You go and you just see people who you think you will like, and you go and you talk to them and you raise a subject. You just say, hello, how are you? And then obviously they're not going to say or go away or anything. But that's what the main thing that I was always scared of is, because like I was always scared that I was going to go and I'll go say, hi, how are you? And they would say, go away or whatever, be very mean and
So what's the new story you believe now, having gone through the experience? What's the new story you can tell yourself when it comes to a new pony camp opportunity where you might know none of the kids going in?
Well, I can tell myself now that I know that I can go there and make friends, which I did this pony camp, and it was very, very fun. It was really, really great. And I know I can go there and make friends very quickly, and I'll be with horses and ride for 3 days. So that was really awesome.
And going forward in your life as a 12-year-old boy now and moving forward into your life, how do you think that that improves your life or changes your potential, or what do you think you'd be willing to try more of now going forward, knowing this new story about yourself?
I think I'd be willing to try more new things that and things that maybe some of my friends won't be interested in doing. Let's say something I want to do and my friends aren't interested in it, I don't have to take a friend with. I can go by myself and make friends on the way.
Beautiful.
Now, I cannot tell you. Good job, boy. Well done.
Thank you.
I cannot tell you how much I wish I knew that at 12.
Yeah.
I cannot tell you. What that'll be worth in the long run, I don't know. I've written a book already about raising children with self-esteem. And it's a journey into raising a 9 or 10-year-old, because that's when the book was finished and released, etc. And I'm going to write another one when he's 18. And we'll see if this worked, right? I'm not saying I'm the doyen of parenting, and I'm not saying I've got it all right, believe me. And there's a whole lot of apology and trying to do better and etc. on both our sides.
But there's insight.
But there's patience and there's persistence and there's sensitivity and there's the desire to meet needs and not control. And there's the encouragement to say, I want to see you reach your potential independent of my insecurities. It should have nothing to do with me. I don't horse ride. I want to. I'm working up to going back to lessons. Not back to start lessons. Mm. The last time I horse rode was in front of him and I got thrown off a horse, dragged by it. It was not a pleasant experience. So I need a lot of work. And what I do need is teaching. And when I'm ready, I'll go do it. Mm. Right. But I never wanted my experience of horse riding to be his.
Mm.
And so after I was dragged in front of him on the horse, I said to the woman, get me that horse, which had now run off into the distance. They brought the horse back. She said, you really don't have to get back on it. I said, no, I really do. I really need my son, who's sitting on a pony at the opposite side of the field at about 5 or 6 years old, I think he was, to see his mother, having got bucked off a horse and completely rejected and injured, get back up on it and do it again. Because falling off a horse and horse riding have nothing to do with each other. We cannot say that we shouldn't horse ride because you get bucked off horses.
Absolutely.
Any more than we should say that you shouldn't go in cars because you have car accidents. Mm. Right?
Absolutely.
Right. So that's a very important lesson I wanted to go and convey for him. And I think it's a lesson you really got. Did you?
100%. I've been bucked off many times. But sometimes when I was really injured, I couldn't really get back on. But the first time I got bucked off, I was quite sore, but I got straight back on.
That's it. You've got to keep going.
I think also what I'm hearing as well is that a lot of the stories we tell ourselves and we believe is based on the fear of the unknown. It's that, you know, a fear that something painful is going to happen if we do this, you know, but it's actually, we don't know what the outcome is, and therefore we're too apprehensive to even try it, you know. But the fact that you can actually instill confidence in your son, and I hope that I can do the same for my child, you know, really is inspirational.
Well, let's look at your son. Yeah. What's his birthday?
His birthday is the 28th of the 5th, 2011.
May.
Yeah.
28th of May, 2011. Okay. So let's give you a bit of insight into who your boy is so you can understand him, right? So for starters, he is going to need a lot of boundaries. I'm going to tell you this up front, because he believes everything should be his way, on his terms, the way he sees it. And he's not going to like taking direction from anyone.
I see that already.
Do you?
Absolutely.
At 1 year old.
Absolutely.
Well, then there you go. The beauty about that kind of thinking is the people who change the world. That's why we have to develop them with a way in this whole generation of kids who've been born since the late 1990s. My son was born in 2000. 1997 onwards children, they are here to redefine, recreate,
love
and
it.
Rebirth this planet in a century that is a two century, which is all about flow and nurturing and being of service. Whereas the century we just came out of, the one century, 1990s and 1900s, that one century was about taking the lead, direction, education, moving forward, leadership. We can see in this century already, it's not about leadership necessarily without nurturing. It's not just about dictatorship. It's not about taking the right. The dictators are falling left, right, and center.
Yeah.
And long may they continue to do so, right? So this century is about nurturing. It's about care. It's about flow. It's about bringing beauty back to the planet. And it's going to get horrific in and around all the places where that happens, because that's the nature of the world. It's the nature of a room. It's the nature of energy. It's entropy. It always goes down to the lowest level. And so planet Earth is doing the same thing in our energy, in our behavior, etc. Everywhere we look, things are just getting scarier. But there's this whole beautiful new generation of being born who's saying, no, enough. And they started. They started in the mid-80s and 90s. But this new generation coming from the late 90s and into the 2000s, this is a generation of healers and givers and people who are trying to change things. And they're sensitive. Everyone out there with children born since the late 1990s, these are sensitive children. They have very specific needs. They will not take your direction and do what they were told. And so we're labeling them as ADD and ADHD. And we have all these so-called conditions. And some of them really do have challenges, and some of them really do benefit from the medication that is available to help these kids to sit still and focus, because they don't want to sit still and focus in an antiquated educational system that is boring them most of the time, when they can go today on their own, on an iPad, on a smartphone, on the computer, and research anything with thousands of resources for any one topic and build the most incredible knowledge about something in a few hours by themselves. This is a generation driven by inspiration. Your son is no different. He is going to be driven by the things that excite him. He will do things anyway. He will do things anyway, but he is driven most by inspiration. He is the kind of boy you can get hooked into something and he will take the lead. He's an analyst. He's intellectual. He's bright. Unless there's any pathology there, he's going to be a smart, thinking, sharp-shooting, I want it this way, do it this way, take direction person. Here's the beauty. Here's the softness there. He's a hugger. Hey, he loves affection. Yeah,
loves it.
He loves affection. He loves to be touched. He loves to have his back rubbed. That I can tell.
Loves
you.
It.
Yeah, there you go. So he loves
kisses.
There you go. He loves the closeness, the affection. He has a generous nature and a beautiful, generous spirit. And he's definitely a spiritual boy. Definitely, almost every single one of these kids born in the last 15 years are deeply spiritual. Yeah, Gavriel used to tell me about experiences that he had when he was little, that he took a photograph the one day. I have it. It's the most unbelievable picture. And I said, what is this? And it looks like this white blotch on the camera. And he said, oh, he was playing with an angel in the garden and he let him take a picture. And I was like, no, that's insane. I mean, he was only 4 years old, so it was hard to not believe, right? Or it was hard to believe, like who knows?
Yeah.
But the picture before was perfect and the picture afterwards was perfect. And there's this clear little image of a little boy in that picture in white in the middle of the picture. I was like, what is that? But these kids welcome it and they're not afraid of it. And the danger I have when I mentor parents is I say to them, don't be telling your spiritual child to stop seeing angels or to stop talking about when they were big before. They bring these experiences with them. They bring things with, because they're older souls. They've come back to bring something to the world. Your son is no different. He is going to start telling you about things he sees and things that bother him and etc. And your role is to communicate and share with him and say, tell me more about what you see. Not, oh, nonsense, boyki, I don't see anything. Tell me more about what you're seeing. What is that? Oh, really? And when he tells you stories like Gov used to tell me all the time when he was younger, because it does, they naturally block it off themselves at about 6 or 7. And they also realize the world around them doesn't all speak like that or isn't all as open. And so they keep those experiences to themselves, which they can tap into again later. It's not gone forever. But Gov used to tell me about, well, when I was big in the world before this world, or when this is what I did and that's what I did. And they bring those experiences. They're fresh and they're rich, and they're there to help them. They have those memories so that they don't feel like, oh, they're back and they're infants. They have memories of being strong. They have memories of being big, and it's very empowering for them. So don't take that from him.
Never.
What you will need to do, and I'm going to stress this emphatically, is boundary him.
Yeah.
You will have to learn, if you're not doing it already, how to boundary him in a way that does not show him that he's a lesser human being. He will need boundaries in which he can see that he can thrive, or that he's limited to protect him because you love him. I put up this boundary because I love you. I'm not budging on it because I love you. No, but mommy this and mommy that. Yeah, I hear it. And you have your opinion. And a lot of, and I'm throwing this in there because you're going to get it. But a lot of parents get this. I hate you. And a lot of parents go, oh, no, don't say that. Don't say that. All right. You know, don't hate me. Well, you know, it's happened a couple of times with us as well. It's a outright frustration of a child who wants to be unboundaried, who goes, I can't believe you, the reason I can't do that. I hate you. And they don't hate you. They hate that they're being so limited because they feel so all powerful and they want to just go bounding through the world. And then, you know, moments later, it's like, well, I don't really. But in the moment where the parent has that poor response, there's a problem. There's a problem for that relationship. There's a problem for that child. So people have said to me, well, what's the response to have? Well, I don't know what the perfect response is. I'm not omniscient, but I can tell you that the response I've had has a lot of value, and we barely ever go there.
Mm.
We barely ever gone there many times, and it hasn't happened for years. But what I've always said to Gab when he says that is, I know it feels that way.
Yeah. acknowledge how you feel.
I understand you feel that way, but I love you dearly, and that's why I'm standing by this. And you'll love me again just now and then. You can come give me a hug.
Absolutely.
There's no judgment.
Bev, thank you. That's wonderful and really insightful. I really appreciate it. We do have someone else as well that's also texted in.
Great, let's do it.
They actually texted in three, so I'll give you all three of them. Okay, mm-hmm. We have, I got no names or males or females. I've got the 27th of the 7th, 1970.
Okay.
I've got the 29th of the 7th, 1962.
Of July.
Yes.
1962, okay.
And the 20th of January.
Mm-hmm.
1970. Sorry, it's because it's all broken up here on the SMS. I actually think that the 29th of the 7th of July mm-hmm. is actually 1970, and the 20th of January is 1962. Sorry.
That does make for very different people.
Sorry, it's a bit confusing because it's broken up.
Okay, so
here.
The 20th of Jan
is
1962.
Yeah.
Got it. Right. Excellent. Give me one second. We'll have these people.
Perfect. No problem.
Got it. So I've got the 27th of July, 1970. The 29th of July, 1970.
Yeah.
So that's 2 days later. And the 20th of January, 1962. So if we've got that right, in future it might be useful for people to actually write the, don't write it numerically,
yeah.
write it the 27th of July, 1970 yeah. is probably easiest for people, for us to interpret it correctly. So they're not sitting there going, no, that's not what I meant. Okay. So it's always important to remember that the onus of communication is on the communicator,
yeah.
not the communicatee, right? So people
Absolutely.
Say, but I told you that, but I didn't understand what you meant. Mm. Okay. Not responsible to understand you. You make yourself heard,
yeah.
right? Okay. It's also not easy with parenting. But I've told you. No, but that's not what you said. Right. And when you have a semantic king, you know, for a son who will tell you in one flat second, you know, don't play with this. Okay, so he's playing with that. I said, yeah. but don't play with this. He said, but you said don't play with this. Don't play with that. You know? And
semantics.
That's this generation. That's this generation. They will humble you, yeah. right? Okay, but they'll also inspire you if you give them half a chance. Most remarkable things happening today. All right, 27th of July, 1970. So let's look at that. I'm not sure. These obviously can't be twins because we can't have a two-day delay. But if we're right, then the 27th of July, 1970, this person feels right. This is somebody who wants to succeed, very ambitious, wants to succeed, wants things to be big. And obviously there's a story here. That's what I'm getting. There's a story here. There's a fear of rejection. There is a need for affirmation. There is a wonderful, compassionate, generous-spirited person who lacks all compassion when hurt. So, you know, that can be quite scary.
Stating.
Yeah, that can be quite scary. So what I mean by that is people can say, well, I'm still compassionate. Yeah, you are. But think about what comes out of your mouth or what goes through your mind when you're really hurting. Mm. It's destruction. It's ripped the person to shreds. And this is a very clever, clear-witted person and with a sharp tongue. And so when that happens and the person becomes erratic or emotional, that can be incredibly damaging to the people around them. But if they handle themselves in a way that is gentle, well, that's different. And there's a tendency towards drama here. There's a tendency towards woe is me. And, you know, instead of woe is me, why not replace that with why not me?
Mm.
Why is this me? Instead of woe is me, why is this me? If I was the benevolent creator who loved me as much as he does, how would I want to grow me by putting me through this challenge?
Mm.
It's like getting caught at a robot, right? You get caught at a traffic light and it's like, oh, traffic's bad, the world's bad, the person in front of you didn't go fast enough is
God
bad.
Hates me.
Everyone's bad, I'll never get there on time. Well, spot check, did you leave on time?
Yeah.
You know, hello, let's take some responsibility yep. here. You are not a victim. Okay, most of the time we're not victims. And even if we're being violently oppressed or attacked or anything like that, God forbid, when we go through those experiences, you're being victimized in the moment. The moment it's over, if you choose to remain a victim of it, then you're carrying on the work of the perpetrators.
Absolutely.
One has to step up and say, they did that. In that moment, I was powerless to defend myself, but I take full ownership of who I am and how I am, and I do not give them permission to change that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do the healing, I'll do the work, I'll clear out the trauma, but I'm not going to be a weaker, broken person because somebody had me held down for that short period. It's a very important lesson there, just
very
saying.
Important.
But if we translate it into a very light-hearted lesson about woe is me, We do this all the time to ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're held back. Woe is me. Everything's hard.
Yeah.
And this person has a tendency to sink to that kind of feeling. I can't believe I can't get it right. I can't believe it's so hard, etc. Well, let's turn that around and say, okay, I can choose to get better because of this frustration, or I can choose to get bitter because of it. And both choices are mine, which means I'm in the power seat.
Yeah.
I'm in the choice side of things. Debbie Kellett will be a perfect example, and her boyfriend, Bruno Pelletieri,
yeah,
who just came out of being Somalian hostages for the last 20 months. They can tell you themselves, they chose not to be victims. They chose not to be the victors of these people. They chose to be victors. They talked about if they got out, when they got out, what they could do, etc., how they would get a cup of coffee and try and trade it, you know, for an IOU and etc. I mean, their version of it in your mind.
Absolutely.
If you stay there in your head, you don't stand a chance.
And so
but if you can be
do.
Standing up in your head, but on your knees in life for a moment or for a time or while they struggle, it happens.
Mm.
But if you're standing up in your head, you will carry on. So the 27th of July, I hope that has value. The 29th of July, different person. We have somebody here who in their own right needs to learn how to remain nurturing, remain flexible, remain helpful and caring and nurturing and all of those things when hurt or disappointed. And to wrap up very quickly, on the 20th of January 1962, this is someone who just wants to lead the way, wants to lead the way in their own way, can tend towards being broken and victimized, but on the whole, it's just, well, sensitive and caring and nurturing, and so hopes that other people will meet that automatically, but has a director spirit that wants to move forward and get things done. And the thing I'd put out there is, be gentle with people.
Yeah.
As gentle as you hope they'll be with you, be gentle with people, because you have a sharp, sharp mind, sharp wit, sharp tongue, and that can be incredibly hurtful when you're hurt. Just as you hurt, try not to hurt others. Be sensitive to the needs of others on purpose, and you'll be amazed what happens around you.
Beautiful, Bev. Wonderful.
Thank you.
So, such a privilege to be here with you. Thank you so
and
much.
And for me, too.
And you
Thank
as well,
you.
Gabriel. You speak beautifully on radio.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, what a champ. You've done good.
Thank you so much.